Morning. Today's Daf of Avodah Zarah, Chaf Gimel. We are in the very top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting with the first word of the Amud. Ravina Amar. Obviously, this is a continuation of a discussion, the Gemara yesterday. We started the second parak of the Masechta. So let's just quickly recap the basic point that we are discussing. The Mishnah told us, Eima Amidim Behemoth Bepunda Ka'osho Ov Dekochavim. So you're not allowed to leave your animal parked in the inn, in the stable of the Goyim, Ibn Isha Chashur, Mala Revia, because we are concerned that they're going to conduct immoral behavior with the animal, and they're going to be involved in Mishka Behema. And so basically, if you're leaving it over there, so Rashi and the Mishnah back then told us that you're in violation of Lifnei Iver if you leave the animal there. So that is the Mishnah. That in of itself is fine, meaning, as we already noted yesterday, that's extraordinarily immoral behavior. And just leaving your animal parked there is going to lead to a taiva, but that's unfortunately the culture that existed back then. Gemara at the end of yesterday's daf told some really, really graphic stories about just the depravity and how immoral they were. The Gemara noted yesterday that there's a problem because we have a brisa. The Gemara on the very top of Chav Beis Amud Beis quoted a brisa, which is that you can buy an animal for them for karbanos. So in other words, you go to a farmer, you go to a local your local herdsman, and you want to buy an animal for a carbon, so you go there and you buy an animal for a carbon. We know the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that if an animal was sodomized, the animal if the animal was involved in either form of bestiality of mishkav behema, so the animal is no longer be brought as a carbon, as pasul carbon. So the Tosefta tells us that you're allowed to buy an animal from a guy. So why, in other words, if we're concerned that the guy is going to have relations with the animal, so then what you're doing is you're buying a blemished carbon. It's a mum. In fact, in today's daf, later this morning, on the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to state very clearly that once the animal is a roveh, once the animal is a nirva, it's considered a mum, it's considered a blemish. And so how do we resolve the Mishnah and the Tosefta? Mishnah says we're super concerned that they're going to be roveh the animal to the point where you can't even park your animal by their stable. Meanwhile, the Tosefta says you can buy the animal for karbanos. Okay, so that's a difficulty. So the Gemara gave so far one answer. One answer the Gemara gave yesterday in the name of Rav is that we're going to make a distinction between their animal versus our animal. If it's their very own animal, so then they're going to be inhibited from having relations with their very own animal. Why? Because of financial consideration. Having relations with their own animal, if it's a female animal, it's going to sterilize the animal. Even if it's a male animal, it's going to somehow diminish the strength of the male animal. So in other words, basically they're damaging their own property. So yes, they have a Yetzirah, but at the same time also, they also don't want to lose money. They don't want financial loss. So if it's their own animal, so then even though there's a temptation, they're going to resist the temptation. Masha ain't Cain, if it's our animal, and our animal's parked in front of their stable, so then there's no financial loss. Yeah, they may get caught, but they'll risk it, and they'll be tempted. So that's the answer that we saw yesterday. That was Rav's answer, resolving the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Now, obviously, it makes perfect sense. Meaning the Brisa says that you are allowed to buy animals from them. Of course, because it's their animal. And because it's their animal, so therefore they're going to make sure they're going to resist the temptation. Masha Enkein, if we're parking our animal by their stable, so then you're offering a temptation for them that's too great for them to pass up on, and you're in violation of Lifnei Iver. That is the first answer of the Gemara, and that took us through the end of yesterday's daf. The Gemara now, we're on the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, and now the Gemara is going to give two more answers. We are starting on the very top, Ravina Amar. Rashi says, Mahadir, look at the top Rashi and the Amar, Mahana la terutze, masisana braisa delel. Meaning what Ravina's accomplishing to do is going to answer the same question that we raised in yesterday's daf. La olam chashidi. And really the truth of the matter is that they're chashid, meaning that they are under a suspicion, a cloud of suspicion, that they do get involved in Mishka Behema. Even with their own animals. Now, really, what I should have done before I read the Rashi is I should have read the Gemara, but I just wanted to point out that Ravina is answering the same question, and ostensibly, Ravina is not agreeing with Rav. That's the way Rashi presents it. I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you take a look at that first Tosos on this Amud, Tosos quibbles on that point. Tosos is not sure that Ravina is coming to totally totally reconstruct a new answer. It could be that he's just simply augmenting, he's modifying the answer of Rav. See Tosus for a discussion of that. But in the meantime, however, Lokasha, let me read the Gemara and then I'll go back to the Rashi. Ravina Amar Lokasha Halachatchila Hadi'evin. The differences between Lechatchil and Bidi'evin. Lechatchil and Bidi'evin, what does that mean? Now let's go back to Rashi. Now Lechatchil and Bidi'evin is here in this case, doesn't mean what it normally means. Lechatchil and Bidi'evin normally means, should I do it? No. But once it's done, okay. That's normally what Lechatchil and Bidi'evin means. Here, it's slightly different, slightly modified usage of the term. Now I go back to Rashi. The Umasis and Lechatchil Ketani, I'm in the first Rashi of the Amud. Second line down. Now, in other words, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, what are we worried about? We're worried about the future. Meaning, should I park my animal in front of the stable of the guy? No, because of what he may end up doing in the future. However, but in other words, but now I'm in the situation where I'm going to buy an animal from a guy. What about its past history? So here I can assume that the animal was not sodomized. So in other words, if I'm going to worry about what's happening in the future, so I need to worry. But if I'm going to worry about what happened in the past, then I don't need to worry. So really, the truth of the matter is, the terminology here in this context really means future versus past. Should I be worried about the future? Yes. Do I need to be worried about the past? No. The answer is no. Okay, fine. The Gemara is just comfortable with this language. The Gemara is using language that it's comfortable with. In this context, it's a little bit different than what it normally means. But yes. And the Gemara says, such a distinction. How do I know that there's such a distinction? None. Because we have the following Mishnah. What did we learn together? That a woman cannot be secluded with a man because we're worried about arayos. We're worried that the man's going to have his way with a Jewish woman. And the Gemara says, and on that, I'm going to ask you a question based on the Mishnah in Ksuvos. The Mishnah in Ksuvos. Ha'isha shenichbasha b'dei ovdi kochavim. A woman who, rachmanas, a woman who was taken captivity amongst non-Jews. Ayde mamun muteris lebala. Ayde nefashas asur lebala. Now, her abduction. If her abduction was just simply because there was a monetary obligation that needed to be settled, and she was basically going to be used as collateral, as leverage against that monetary obligation, and so under those circumstances, she comes down and you assume nothing happened to her. Because consider that the guy really is just using her as leverage for money. So under those circumstances, he's not going to want to violate her because then his leverage is gone. The whole reason why he abducted her is simply because he wanted his payment. So under those circumstances, if it's al yedei mamon, so then she is considered still not been violated by her abductors. Masha enkein, if it's al yedei nefashos, if let's say she was taken for something that maybe she did, something maybe her husband did, whatever the case may be, but it's Ayyidin Afashos, so now there's no monetary incentive anymore, so now we assume that her abductors violated her. And then she comes back, and we assume that she was in fact violated. Now if it's Ones, we know that she is not Asur to her husband. If she's an Ashes Kohen, even if it's Ones, she is Asur to her husband. But in the meantime, the Gemara here is making the following point. So what do you see now? Let's compare what we learned in our Mishnah here in Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah in Ksuvos. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that Lotis Yachri Shamahem Mishnah Shinan Al Arayos, that she's not allowed to seclude herself with a guy because we're worried about she'll be violated. Masha'enke in the Mishnah over there says if it's Mamonos, we're not worried. What do you see over here? There's a difference between worrying about the future versus worrying about the past. If we're worried about the future, we're going to say to her, hey, don't do it. Once it happened already, so then we say it's okay. Now, granted, by the way, it's only in the case of mammon, but still, it's okay. So, so now you see that contrast between worrying about the future versus worrying about the past. Now, the Gemara says, now the proof you just gave me is not such a great proof. Me and mine. The Gemara says, no, really the truth of the matter is that I'm worried about the future, I'm also worried about the past as well. Meaning that maybe this distinction doesn't exist. And really the truth of the matter is that we worry that if she secludes herself with an Ovi Kochavim, she'll be violated. And once she did, she's also violated. And unfortunately, we're going to worry in both circumstances. And what the Mishnah is telling us is if it's al yidei mamon, if it's a monetary consideration, if she's just being using it for leverage for a monetary obligation, in that case, and only in that case, do we say that she was not violated because of the monetary incentive, where the Akum is using her as leverage for the money that's owed to him. So maybe only in that case, that's the exception, that's not the rule. Only in that case do we say that she's not violated, but under all circumstances, we say that she was violated. Teida, the Gemara says, and let's make this point even better. Diktani seifa yidenafasha sasur labala. In fact, the Mishnah goes out of its way to tell us that if she was abducted for something that has to do with nefashos, meaning, again, she was tried for something or her husband was tried for something, whatever the case was, if it's not monetary incentive, if it's just nefashos, so then we assume that she, in fact, was violated. Vesulamidi, and the Gemara says, and truth in the matter is that there's nothing really more to say about this matter, meaning that this, we try to bring this as proof that there's a difference between past versus future. If it's, I'm worried about the future, I should worry, but once it happened already, I don't need to worry anymore. This mission over here, And the comparison between the Mishnah here in Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah in Ksuvos doesn't make that point. In fact, just the opposite. We could say that we're always worried that she's in fact violated. Rashi over here, Teida. I'm reading the Rashi. D'mishum hefzeh mamamun hu d'shari la. Only in a case where it's a monetary incentive she'll be permitted. D'ktani adin nefashah sh'nizchai v'ariga asur labala. Ama hecha d'lo mirsus lehefzeh mamono. Now in a case where we're not worried about hefzeh mamon, afkuri mafkir la. And then what's the concern? The concern is that she's abducted. She's not being used leverage for monetary gain. It's, in other words, it's not a ransom situation. So under those circumstances, so then the suspicion is not only will she have relations with her abductors, but beratzon. She'll have it willingly with her abductors. So that is one explanation of Rashi, and that's what the concern, and therefore, she would, of course, be asur labala. She'd be prohibited to her husband. Now, the Easter mukmila be'eshes kohen. Demitzra ba'ones. Now, Rashi does point out, some people, when they learn the sugya, so they say that's talking about Nesha's Kohen. Because the Nesha's Kohen is going to be asur to her husband, even if it's the case of ones. It's unfortunate, it's tragic. But that's the halacha. The halacha is that she'll be asur to her husband. V'rishon ikar debiksuvos muchach debeshes Yisrael kai. But Rashi says, but the truth of the matter is that the first pshat that I laid out is a better pshat. You read the Gemara in Ksuvos, you learn the Gemara in Ksuvos, it comes out that we're talking about Eishes Yisrael, we're not talking about Eishes Kohen. And Vesulo Midi in the next Rashi. Ein lehokshos al davrezeh devare tamayideh mamon muter mishum dechayisha v'kochem lefse mamono. And so the general rule is that we are choshesh, both for the future and for the past. And the only notable exception is if it's a ransom situation, where she's being used to, as she was abducted, as leverage against money. Otherwise, we assume that she was violated. Comes out over here, something, a Gemara's conclusion, which, you learn the Gemara, you go, you follow the thought process of the Gemara, so you end up in a really strange place in terms of a conclusion. Tosus over here points out, you ask a question which makes sense from the Gemara standpoint, but in terms of like day-to-day life, practical life, it's like it's hard to imagine. Tosos divra maschol v'sulam midi. It's towards the bottom of the amud. Second to last tosos on the amud. Perish devad, they have some mamon shani. Like Rashi said. Hefzed mamon is the exception. Aval yichud ba'ama ema da'asar af b'di'evit. But if she's miyachid with an akum, so then b'di'evit, she's going to be, even b'di'evit, she's going to be asura. Tema. So Tosos says, if all this is correct, meaning if we're learning the Gemara correctly, so now, watch us ask a question which, again, you know there's an answer to the question. There has to be an answer to the question, but the question is a logical progression of everything we've been doing up until now. Tema. Imkein lo anach bas la Avram avinu eishes kohen yosheves tachas bala. So now you have an eishes kohen, married to her husband, and there's not going to be one of them, not a single one of them, who then is going to be permitted to her husband. The eifshe shalotis yachidim shumo vekochavim sha'achas. Because what? They were never secluded once with an akum? And now, based on the Gemara's conclusion, Ravina's conclusion, unless there's a monetary consideration, a significant monetary consideration, we're worried that yichud will lead to some form of violation. And again, the halach is with an eishes kohen. Once she's violated, she's asur to her husband. And so now, you're telling me that for every yichud opportunity, so we are now concerned, both l'chadchila and b'di'evin. It's hard to imagine. And therefore we should be choshesh. She was in fact violated. And now, how can an Eishes Kohen remain married to her husband? after any yichud opportunity with an ovei kochavim. Now again, you know there's an answer to this question. It can't, the question by itself can't just simply stand. So Tosos over here offers a couple suggestions. One says Tosos, v'yishlam de'enze el adichui ba'amaklam me'achalo tochich me'kamakam divar avina emesein. So one answer says Tosos is that I know the Gemara upended Ravina's premise, but maybe says Tosos just as a dichui, just simply as a way of saying the raya is not such a good raya. Ravina may still be right, but the raya may not be so good. That could be one way to learn the sugya, and really there is a difference between lechatchil versus bidyevit. The Odei Shlomer Tosos says, and maybe we can approach it another way as well. Da'afil lufi amaskana in leisur yichud mu'at da'afka nechbisha shani. Tosos says what he thinks is a really fundamental answer, and that is, you learn the Mishnah Ksuvos carefully, you read it carefully, it says Nichbasha. Nichbasha means that she was abducted. In other words, she was under the control of the Ovei Kochavim. Under those circumstances, where now, similar to our discussion, where now the Akum has the animal in his possession. So it's totally within his control. So under those circumstances, he can do with it what he wants. If a woman is abducted, she's nechbasha. So under those circumstances, so now the guy has total control over her. He can do with it what he wants. But just yichud ba'alma, but in other words, they're secluded. And we're not talking about the halachas of yichud over here, meaning it was more than a minute, it was more than 2 minutes. It was a significant amount of time, but she wasn't under control of the guy. So then we're not going to say that she is now a steward to her husband because of yichud. So the second answer is making a distinction between yichud ba'alma versus nechbasha, where she was totally abducted. Okay, that's Tosus' second answer. Back to the Gemara, so where are we right now? We have two proposed answers of the Gemara on the original question. What's the original question starting our second parak of the Masechta? The Mishnah tells us that you can't park your animals in the stable of a guy because his Yetzahara for Mishka Behemoth is so strong that you're going to be tempting him. And you'll be in violation of Lifnei Iver. Meanwhile, if you're buying an animal for a carbon, you can go to your local Goyish farmer, buy your animal for the carbon, and don't worry, even though a sodomized animal is disqualified, you can assume that it's not been sodomized. So do they have a Yetzirah or do they not have a Yetzirah? So our first answer, which was yesterday's daf, was there's a difference between their animal versus our animal. Their own animals, they're not going to sodomize because of financial consideration. Our animals, they will. That's one answer. That's Rav's answer. Ravina right now proposed the second answer. There's a difference between Lechachila versus Bidiyevin. If we're worried about the future, meaning they are going to have relations, so that's something we should be concerned about. But if now the question is, I'm buying from the animal, what's the history of the animal? So then I don't need to be concerned with. It's a question of future versus past. Yes. The Gemara's assumption, the Gemara's starting point for the discussion is that they do. In other words, the Gemara's working with a different assumption, right? In other words, at the end of yesterday's daf described behavior that's really it's decrepit behavior. It's a moral behavior. So it was very common. Okay. We are up to now the third answer of the Gemara, Rabbi Bedas Amar. So this is now the third proposed answer of the Gemara, and that is Lokasha HaRabbi Eliezer HaRabbanan. So the Gemara now is suggesting that maybe the Mishnah and the Braisa are not really able to be synchronized, and I can't make a chiluk between the animal versus our animal, the difference between future versus past, but rather, it's a machlokas hatanaim. HaRabbi Eliezer HaRabbanan Dinam, we start with the Mishnah in Parah, second parak of the Mishnah of Parah. Obviously, we're talking here about Parah Duma. So Gabi Parah's Chatas, Rabbi Eliezer Amar Einu Nik Chesman Ovi Kocham V'Chacham Matirin. So we start off with a machlokas in the Mishnah in terms of whether or not I can buy my Parah Duma from a guy. Rabbi Eliezer says that you cannot buy your Parah Duma from a goy, and the Chachamim say you're allowed to. Okay, that's the machlokas. Now that we have that machlokas, we have a Mishnah. We don't have an explanation. And Kedarko, this is how it always works. Meaning the Mishnah gives us the facts, the Mishnah doesn't give us the whys, the reasons. And that's why we have Gemara. Meaning now the Gemara is going to learn this Mishnah in Parah Duma and try to discuss and deliberate. Now probably what you're thinking now, if I may guess, is that we know one of the most famous circumstances of the purchasing of a Parah Duma happened for Dama Ben Nisina. and he was a guy. And they looked to buy a paraduma from him. Okay, well, that's good according to the Chachamim, and according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer either didn't hold to the story, or not didn't hold to the story, but wouldn't have agreed with the practice. But the Chachamim say you're allowed to. And at the end of today's daf, we get treated once again in Shas to the story of Dhamma ben Nisina. But I'll probably stop today before the story of Dhamma ben Nisina, as it goes well into tomorrow's daf. So anyway, but fine. So if I was just practicing a little mind reading, you probably were thinking about Dhamma ben Nisina. It's the right place to go. Okay, good. So now that we're here, so the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. Are you allowed to buy your paraduma from a guy? The Chachamim say yes. Rabbi Eliezer says no. And now let's discuss. Why? What's the basis of the machlokas? My love, b'hakibifligi, the Rabbi Eliezer Savra, chayshin l'reviya, v'rabban Savra, lo chayshin l'reviya. So the Gemara says, I think I got it. I think I know what's at the nekud ha-machlokas between the Tanayim. Rabbi Eliezer says that we're worried that the animal was sodomized. Like our Mishnah here in Avodah Zarah. And as a result of that, a sodomized animal is possible for Parah Aduma, which we're going to be discussing in more detail. Parah Aduma is very strange. Meaning, is it a carbon? No. It's not offered on the Mizbeach. It's not, there's no Zrikas Adam. On the other hand, yeah, the Torah does describe it as a Chatas. So is it a carbon? So, okay, it's kind of an open-ended question. We'll discuss more of that later this morning in terms of whether or not it is considered a carbon or just simply Kedushas Bedekabayis. That's coming up later. But in the meantime, however, we have seemingly a plausible way of explaining the machlokas, a very good way, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, since I'm worried that it's sodomized, and we know a sodomized animal is possible of carbon, so that's why I can't buy it from a guy, because he's going to sodomize the animal. Because he did, and therefore it's going to be possible. Masha ain't Cain. According to the Chachamim, it's not a concern. And that sheet of the Chachamim goes together with the Tosefta, that you're allowed to buy carbonas from goyim. Very good. Okay, good. The Gemara's got much more to discuss on this suggestion. Maybe the truth of the matter is that we're not concerned that the animal was sodomized. And maybe over here the issue, the consideration is the following. So we know that the Parah Aduma has to have gone its entire life not worked, right? There is a clear requirement in the Psukim that it cannot work. It cannot be mounted, cannot have a yoke on top of it, cannot carry anything. So there is a psul avoda when it comes to the paraduma. Also, by the way, there's a psul avoda when it comes to the aglarufa. Another quasi-carbon type situation where the aglarufa, it's not a carbon. This is even more dissimilar to a carbon. I bring it to the Nachal Eisan, I hatchet it from the back of the neck, But it also, there's a psul avoda on the egla arufa. They're slightly different than one another. For the parah aduma, the Torah says, lo alaha ol. A yoke could not have gone onto it. Doesn't even have to pull the yoke. As long as you put a yoke on top of it, it's pasul. Masha enkin, when it comes to the egla arufa, so it had to have pulled the yoke. So there's a slight differentiation between the psul avoda of parah aduma versus that of an egla arufa, but still. The point is that you know why Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to buy the animal from the guy? Because he may have worked the animal. And the Chachamim say, I'm not worried. That's the machlokas, says the Gemara. Mar sever chayshina, mar sever lo chayshina. Well, the Gemara suggested that. The Gemara now is offering another way to explain it. And so, again, the Gemara is trying to either defend or dismantle the Rabbi Pedas approach. So the Gemara started off by saying that Revia was the issue, but the Gemara says, but there's another way to explain it. So the Gemara says, Losag dacha mishum nicha porta lo mafsituva. So the Gemara says, I don't like that explanation. Because what are we talking about over here? The guy has a paraduma. He's going to work it one time, and he's going to lose all that money. No, and again, and like we said in yesterday's daf, like we continue to say in today's daf, if there's a significant financial consideration, that's going to keep him straight. That's going to keep him in line. He's not ready to lose all that money just for one activity of work. I hear you, but my best guess is that if there's a significant business opportunity, so they're gonna know. All right. Generally speaking, when people have a chance of making, advertise, like, yeah, right. I hear you. I hear you, but that's the let's assume they know. So hachanami, I'm sorry. So mishum nicha porta lo mafsi tuva. So hachanami lema mishum ana porta lo mafsi tuva. So the Gemara says, okay. So if that's true, so you're telling me that if they have a selling opportunity and they have a profiting opportunity, so that's going to prevent them. That's going to inhibit them. So the Gemara says, so why not over here also? Meaning buying a carbon from a guy. We say, well, the animal may or may not have been sodomized. Why don't we just simply argue? The animal was for sure not sodomized. Why would they sodomize the animal and miss that profit opportunity? So the Gemara says, yeah, but you understand there's a big difference? Ha'asam yitzur tokfo. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about working the animal, there's no yetzer hara that the guy is going to work his animal. He has a yetzer hara to work his animal. There's no such thing. Mishka behema, on the other hand, the guy has a yetzer hara for Mishka behema. And so therefore, when it comes to working the animal, we could say that the profit opportunity, the money-making opportunity is going to inhibit him. It's going to prevent him from working the animal. But over here, even though he's going to lose out on profit if he sodomizes his animal, but he's got a Yetzahara, and the Yetzahara takes over. The Gemara now suggests maybe there's another way to attack this Mishnah and Parah. And there's another way to explain the Machlokas. And that's the following. The Gemara quotes the following Brisa. My time of the Rabbi Eliezer. So here the Gemara now is offering a third explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Torah says, v'ichu elecha. If I were to translate it, I would say, and you buy, and you purchase. B'nei Yisrael yikachu. Probably didn't pronounce it super well, but the idea is as follows. Says Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. The Torah says yikhu, which means that you're going to buy, but it could also be read, Rashi in the last line, yakichu. You're going to create an acquisition. Otherwise stated, you're going to sell. Meaning that the way you could also read the pasuk is, B'nei Yisrael yakichu. B'nei Yisrael will be the one selling the animal. Meaning you have to buy it from a Jew. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Gzeres HaKosov, not because of Cheshin LaRivia, not because of the concern that maybe you work the animal, but simple Gzeres HaKosov, a Kri and a Ksiv of the Torah, that when you buy the animal, you must buy it from a Jew. That is how Rabbi Eliezer, that's the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, Lo Sakadachem. The Gemara says, no. Now, it's interesting because it is Rabbi Shila teaching this in a Braisa. Obviously, Rabbi Shila feels that this is correct. But the Gemara says, but we don't have to necessarily agree. Why? Because Diktani Seifa. Because let's consider. V'chena ya Rabbi Eliezer posa b'chol karbonos kulan. Rabbi Eliezer does not limit this halacha to paraduma. Rabbi Eliezer extends this to every karbon. Rabbi Eliezer says that when you buy a karbon, you must buy from a Jew, not from a non-Jew. Now the Gemara says, v'zagadach ekedini Shila. Now if you think that Shila's explanation is because of the Gzeres HaKosov, where's the Gzeres HaKosov? Paraduma. It's not by other karbanos. Bishlam aparak siv be kicha. Alakula karbanos kicha ksivahu. It doesn't say by the other karbanos. So the explanation of Tani Shila, of the Bryce of Shila, doesn't seem to be a good way to explain it. Vidilma akan lo pligi rabbanalad Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says, now maybe the Chachamim only dispute Rabbi Eliezer al bapara de damer yikarin. Maybe the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer only by the paraduma, since it is so expensive. So the and maybe, as Rashi points out over here, since it's so expensive, that's going to inhibit him from having relations with his animal. Ava b'shar kabanos modele. But when it comes to other animals and other karbanos, in other words, you're just simply buying livestock for a karban, and it's not paraduma, so maybe the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Eliezer. I shouldn't do it because maybe the animal was sodomized. So the Gemara says, Vela had detanya, lochim mehem behema lekarban money. Gemara says, that's untenable. That I cannot accept that the Chachamim is agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to shar karbanos. Because yesterday's daf, we had a Tosefta. The Tosefta says that you can buy the carbon from a guy. And now if you're telling me the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer by other animals, so who now becomes the author of that Braisa? Nobody. So the Gemara says, Lo Rabbi Eliezer v'lo Rabbanan. V'otan v'hejan. Furthermore, says the Gemara, we have another Braisa. Mayusuv v'le chavur le Rabbi Eliezer. Consider now what the response was for the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer's position is that when you buy either paraduma, or, for that matter, any carbon, it must come from a Jew. You can't buy it from a guy. Meanwhile, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Right, this is it doesn't happen that often. That the what the Tana is arguing against a pasuk and Navi, but seemingly he is. What does the pasuk say? Called Tzonke Dar Yikapsulach Yalu Mizbechi. So the you're going to take Tzonke Dar Kedar here is another way to describe the Ishmaelim. You're going to get the animals from the Ishmaelim and you're going to bring it on my Mizbeach. Seemingly, who is now the where's the source of these carbonates coming from? It's coming from Goyim. And we're going to bring them on the Mizbeach. And so now the pasuk is clearly indicating that you do buy, you're allowed to buy a carbon from a Goy in order to bring on Mizbeach. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So quick recap. We have now a question and three different answers. Right. In other words, if he's bringing his own carbon, so I would suggest that he would be okay with that. Meaning, we're talking about us and our ability to purchase an animal from who? Okay. So, but in other words, right. That's his question. That's what he's wondering. Okay. It could be. Okay. It could be. It's a good question. I'll think about it. Anyway, so we have so far now a question starting the second perek, and we have three possible answers. Question: the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second perek of Avodah Zarah that you can't park your animal in the stable of a guy because you're going to be machshel him on the Isra of Mishka Behema. So we clearly are worried about his behavior with animals and that he has such a yetzahar for Mishka Behema, you can't even tempt him. On the other hand, the Tosefta tells us on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis that you're allowed to buy animals from a guy for carbonos, and we're not worried that the animal was sodomized, and it's not a concern. And so what we have now seemingly is a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And we have now three approaches amongst the Amoraim. One, Rav's approach, is that there's a difference between their animal and our animal. Their own animal, they're not going to sodomize because it's going to financially impair their animal. And they don't want to do that. If it's our animal, so then they will. Second answer, Ravina, there's a difference between Lechatchila versus Bidiyevit. And Lechatchila Bidiyevit over here means past versus future. If it's something I'm going to worry about, I should worry about it. But once now I'm in a position where, do I need to worry that it happened? No, I don't need to worry that it happened. Past versus future. And finally, the third answer of Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas's answer is that maybe it's a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer. We know for sure they're arguing about Paraduma, whether it could be purchased from a goy or not. And maybe what's behind the machlokes over here is whether we're concerned that the animal was a nirva. Okay. Adkan, that takes us really through the end of the sugya, but the Gemara now just has like a couple of loose ends that it wants to tie up. Adkan lo pligi, Rashi says, mil sabapi nafshikamar, ba'azo. This is now a new point of the Gemara going forward, meaning the three answers now are in the books, literally. Three answers are in the books, and now we are just simply tying up a couple of loose ends. Adkan lo pligi ela b'chashasha. Right? The concern over here is, was the animal sodomized? Yes or no? We're concerned. So, but if the paraduma was sodomized, so then it's pasul. Meaning, that's a given. And the Gemara just would like to know, well, where did that come from? Meaning, what is that? That if the paraduma was sodomized, it's pasul. Now, as we already stated and know, if a carbon was sodomized, it's going to be disqualified. Right? We quoted the Gemara yesterday, and the Rashi quoted the Gemara yesterday. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Amud Beis. And so that we know. But a paraduma is not a carbon, right? So this is where the Gemara discusses that topic. So the Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi ela b'chashasha. Ava hecha devadai rav apasla. Shma mina parakachim izbeachi. So the Gemara says, so this now brings us to the topic. I foreshadowed it earlier this morning, and here we are. Where's the paraduma go categorically? Is it kachim izbeach or is it kachim bedek abayis? Now again, when we talk about carbonos, and we're going to be talking about it a lot, In a short amount of time, April 15th, I think it's on the calendar. April 15th, we start Seder Kachim, right? It's not so far from now. So it's just Avodah Zarah and Horios, and that's it. And then we finish Seder Nezikin. So in a couple months from now, so we're going to be launching Seder Kachim, and the Yedios, the most basic information by Seder Kachim, is to know a distinction between Kedushas Mizbech and Kedushas Bedek Abayis. Kedushas Mizbech is an animal that could be offered on the Mizbech. It has Kedushas Haguf. It has intrinsic Kedusha. It's not redeemable unless it gets a blemish. But generally speaking, it's not redeemable. And then there's Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, something that was earmarked for the Beis HaMikdash, usage of the Beis HaMikdash. It does not have intrinsic Kedusha. It's external. And that means that you can redeem it. Okay. That's the basic distinction between Kedushas Mizbech and Kedushas Bet HaKabayis. Where is the Paraduma in all this? Is it Kedushas Mizbech or is it Kedushas Bet HaKabayis? So really, even without a Gemara, you can easily argue. On one hand, it's an animal that is going to be not sacrificed, but it's shechted. On the other hand, it's not going on the Mizbeach. So where is it now in terms of category? Is it Kedushas Mizbeach or Kedushas Bet HaKabayis? By virtue of the fact, we're kind of working backwards over here. It's a little reverse engineering. By virtue of the fact that we see that if it was sodomized, it's going to be pasul, the Gemara says it must be Kedushas Mizbeach. The Gemara now is using the information to help us identify which category it belongs. De'i kashe bet HaKabayis ki mifsala ba'reviyah. Gemara says, look, if it's kashe bet HaKabayis and it gets sodomized, is that going to disqualify for Kedushas bet HaKabayis? Meaning it's not, it's pasnished, it's not, certainly it's unseemly. Etnozona as a carbon is disqualified. Yeah, Tosus just the other day. Right, Tosus just discussed this the other day. Etnozona could be brought as bet HaKabayis. Yep. So the Gemara says, so kashim bet HaKabayis mi mifsala ba'reviya. So shani par dechatas kari rachmana. So the Gemara says, really, you know what the para kaduma could be? It could be a little bit of a hybrid. Okay? In other words, it could be really Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, but with a tinge, pun intended, but with a tinge of carbon disqualification, in that if it's sodomized, it's going to be disqualified. The Torah does describe it as a chatas. So elamehatat possibly yotzi dofen. So the Gemara says, really. So to a certain degree, meaning it's really fundamentally Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, but it's subject to carbon disqualifications. So the Gemara says, if you're right, and we know that if it's sodomized, it's disqualified. That we know. What if it comes out cesarean? Now, here's what we know. If an animal is born cesarean, you cannot bring it as a carbon. You could certainly bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and give it to them as Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, but you can't bring it as a carbon. It's a gzeiras hakasav. The animal has to come out in a natural delivery. So the Gemara says, now, let's say, obviously an extraordinarily unusual scenario, but let's say the paraduma is coming out of its mother's womb cesarean. Is that going to be puzzle or not puzzle? So tipuzzle yotze defen v'chita mahachanami. So maybe you'll tell me, okay, look, a sodomized paraduma is disqualified, so maybe a cesarean paraduma will be disqualified. But alamatanya, the Gemara says, yeah, but the Gemara held this card in its hand, and now the Gemara reveals. Higdisha biyotzi dofen. Let's say it's an animal that was born cesarean. So psula. So the Tanakhama says pasul, Rabbi Shimon machshir, and Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. Now Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. So v'chitem, Rabbi Shimon latami damar yotzi dofen vlad mal yehu. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe this is Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso. Because we know that Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that a bechor human that comes out cesarean is considered a vlad ma'ali, it's considered a viable vlad, meaning a vlad that's subject to kedusha. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Yochanan, Modai Rabbi Shimon, Lenyan Kashim Sheino Kadosh." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that's true regarding humans. But the shita of Rabbi Shimon is that a cesarean animal is going to be pasul." So the Gemara says, "So now where are we right now? We're a little bit stuck because what we're trying to do is categorize the paraduma." Is it kashe bet HaKabayis or kashe mizbech? The Gemara says it's kashe bet HaKabayis, but with a disqualification, with a sensitivity of disqualification that is that of a carbon. Why? Because the Torah describes it as a chatos. And why are we a little bit stuck? Because we know if it's sodomized, it's going to be pasul. The Gemara says that's a given. But what if it comes out yotzei dofen by a regular carbon that's disqualified and by a parah aduma to machlokas? And Rabbi Shimon happens to be of the opinion that it's kosher. So elashani parah hol mum posaba davar erva vadazara nami posaba. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Really, it's kedushas bet HaKabayis. Meaning the Gemara is now learning it up according to Rabbi Shimon. Really, it's kedushas bet HaKabayis. And really, it does not need carbon level disqualification. So really, in other words, if it comes out Yotzei Dofen, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's fine. What if it's sodomized? We all agree that if it's sodomized, it's not good for a paraduma, because what an animal is when it's sodomized, it's considered a baal mum. It's considered blemished. And we know the paraduma cannot be blemished. Meaning, even though it's bedek habayis, even though it's not a karbon, but we also know it has to be tmima. It has to be an unblemished animal. And once it's sodomized, it's considered blemished. How do I know that? The Gemara now goes on to explain. Umum posabal davar erva vadazar nami posabal. Once it's subject to a mum, it's also subject to the psul of Odazara and the psul of Erva, because they also are considered mumim. How do I know that? Dichsiv, ki mashchisem bahem, mumba. V'tan debe Rav Yishmael, kamakum shenemar hashchata, eino ela dvar Erva v'avodazara. When we have the word hashchata, so that includes both idolatry and avodazara. How do I know that? Dvar Erva dichsiv, ki yishchiz kol basar es darko al haaretz. Because when it comes to Avodah Zarah, when it comes to Arayos, the Torah says that by the door of Noach, they were mashchis. We know that they were shot of bezima, that they engaged in immoral behavior, sexually immoral behavior. And we also know that there's a hashchasa as it relates to Avodah Zarah as well. So once we now know that the paraduma is really fundamentally bedek habayis, it's not a karbon. And yes, the Torah describes it as a chatas, but really the truth of the matter is that it's bedek habayis. Why is it that a sodomized animal can't be brought as a paraduma? If it's not a karbon, a sodomized animal doesn't possible for bedek habayis. So the Gemara's new approach is that it's because the Torah tells us it has to be tamima. It has to be an unblemished animal. Now, generally, that means physically, a physical blemish. But halachically, what do? We include in that requirement of being an unblemished animal, Avodah Zarah and Arayus, based on Pesukim. Va'aparinami, hol mum posaba, davar erva avodah kocham posaba. And the Gemara says, and good. And on this point now, we can conclude, since we know the paraduma has to be unblemished, it has to be a tmima, so therefore it can't be subject to erva, and it cannot be subject to avodah zarah as well. Okay, and that just takes us now to the second half of today's daf. Where do I put the paraduma? Do I put it as a kache mizbeach, or do I put it as kache bedek habayis? And the Gemara's conclusion here seems to be pretty clear, that I put it under kedushas bedek habayis. What if it's sodomized? We know it's pasul. We know it's disqualified. That's a given. And the Gemara says, because it's considered now a mum. It's considered a blemish. And even though it's not a karbon, and it's not kedushas mizbeach, but still a blemish is going to disqualify it. That's gzeiras hakosov. And once it's subject to an arayus, like Mishka Behema, so then it's a disqualification. It's the psul of a mum. Let's start tomorrow's daf. I know we're in today's daf, but this really leads well into tomorrow's daf. Gufa tani shila my tamad rav lezid chsiv daber bnei yisrael vikchu bnei yisrael yikachu or yakichu v'nov dekochav yakichu. So according to the brayser Rabbi Shila, so where do I get my animals from for karbanos? I can only buy it from a Jew. I can only buy it from Bnei Yisrael, not from an Akum. He reads that in the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, El me'ata dabel Bnei Yisrael ve'chuli truma. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have Parsha Shkalim coming up. Okay, and again, it coordinates beautifully. We have Parsha Shkalim coming up, and the Torah says, v'chuli truma. So we have the word v'chu. And again, according to the Braisa, Rabbi Shila, what do you do with that word? You create ksiv. It says vikhu, you're going to take, but it also says yakichu. Hachinami de bnei Yisrael yakichu veno ovdi kocham yakichu. So that means that sourcing of all funding for the Beis HaMikdash should be coming from a Jew and not from a non-Jew. Vechitem hachinami, the Gemara says, and maybe you'll tell me, well, that's right. Gemara says, but it's not right. Or we know otherwise. V'am Rav Yehuda Mashmul, shalos Rebbe Lazar ad heichen kibbut aveim. So the Gemara says, and they ask Rabbi Elazar the question, where does Kibbut Aveim take us? What's the parameters? What's the limits of Kibbut Aveim? So, yeah, you'll see. So the Gemara says, Amalem Suru Masa Ovekochavim Echad, Laviv Ashkelon, Vedama Ben Nisinim Shmo. So the Gemara says, well, you know, there was this non-Jew living in Ashkelon. His name was Dama Ben Nisina, and Pamach is Bikshumimenu Avanim Leifot. And at one point in time, so he was, they asked from him stones for the ephod, b'shishim ribu, and they were ready, ischar, and they were ready to pay him a lot of money. Rav Kana Masni b'shmonim ribu. V'ayu maftechos menachos tachas merosho sof shel aviv, and the keys were under under that of the father. V'lo sira, and he didn't wake up his father. So the Gemara is bothered by a simple question. How can you tell me that we're not ready to accept donations from Goyim for the Beit HaMikdash? We were more than ready to buy the Avne Ephod, the stones that are put on the Ephod of the Kohen Gadol, and we were ready to buy from a guy. So what are you, Rabbi Shila, going to do with that? What are you going to do with that story? Okay, so tomorrow morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to start again from the question. I'm going to start again with the story. The story goes into tomorrow's daf. And just one note before we end today, and that is, when did the story take place, historically? When did the story take place? So Tosus on the very bottom of the Amud says, Bayis Sheni, not during Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara, Tosus has such a wonderful raya. Hai dama ben esin ha-karchina be-vayis Sheni ha-yam edikam l'shan ha-cheres no dilo para aduma be-edro da-kaim alan di-bimei Bayis Rishon lo nisrafu shum para. So Tosus points out that we know historically that for the entire first base of Mikdash, There was no necessity, there was no need for burning of another Parah Aduma. Ki nistapka ba'oso sha'asa Moshe kol yimei Bayis Rishon. We have a Masorah, we have a tradition, that for the entire Bayis Rishon, the Parah Aduma that Moshe burnt was good, lasted, I mean, just imagine, by the way, they only need trace amounts for every sprinkling, it lasted for the entire duration of Bayis Rishon. So we know, by the way, I mean, I didn't get to this part, but I'm sure we all know this. They ended up buying a Parah Aduma from Dama ben Esina. So if they're in the market for a Parah Aduma, so it must be during Bayis Sheni. It's a wonderful raya that Tosus is pointing out. Okay. So then Tosus is going to be bothered by your point. So then, but that also means that they're buying Avonim for the Ephod during Bayis Sheni. Okay. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But anyway, Tosus says the story took place to sometime during Bayis Sheni, not Bayis Rishon.
The story about how he sat with the Romans, and his mother came in and tore.
Right? Very good. Right, that Gemara Kedushin. Oh, very good. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.